one.
Where are we? Samach Zayin on the base at the bottom. Ina Gonev Achar Ganim Shlanka Shumikevel. All right. So what's the? So this is going back to the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says what? Yeah. Ena gonev achar haganav mishlam tashlumei kefil. So Rashi says, "Dechsev v'gunav mibeis ha'ish v'lo mibeis haganav." That's Rashi on the Mishnah. Yeah, so that's the drasha that we were doing with the Reb Chaim, right? V'gunav mibeis ha'ish v'lo mibeis haganav. Yeah, so the question is, who is it excluding the payment of kefil to, right? To whom is the exclusion of kefil? In other words, who would you have paid kefil to without this pasuk? So clearly, according to the way we were learning and the way Reb Chaim was learning, it would be who? Reb Chaim was learning that the v'gunav mibeis ha'ish v'lo mibeis hektish. Right, that was his pshat. He was learning that in the Rambam. And he was saying that without that, you need that drasha because you don't exclude it from re'ehu. Re'ehu is when the payment goes to hektish, right? Like bedek habayis. That's when the bailam is hektish. But v'gunav mibeis ha'ish is where the payment would go back to the original owner because it's his animal still, right? The only thing is, the way he was learning is that once you're makdish an animal, the mizbeach, it's no longer in the reshus of the bialim, right?
That principle would equally apply for gunav mibeis haganav.
So that's gunav mibeis haganav. In other words, I would say, without the pasuk, I would say what? I would say, if you stole my animal, so now it's in the reshus of the ganav. And now another ganav comes and steals it again. So I would say the second ganav is not chayev kefil to the baal because he didn't do a maisa gneva. Right? That was the Reb Chaim's pshat. He wants to say that's defining the maisa gneva of kefil. Maisa gneva for kefil is that you're gonev from the reshus of the baal. The chi of kefil only comes about when the object is in the reshus of the owner of the object, and then you remove it from that, you cause the separation of the baal of the object and its rightful reshus. So when I own my object and it's in my reshus, that's a maisa gneva, that's mechayev and kefil. But when the object is not in my reshus already, because it's in the reshus of a ganav, that's not a gneva to me, that would be mechayev kefil. Okay, but what about a payment to the ganav of kefil? Right?
Payment to the ganav of kefil?
Yeah. So that's not crazy.
Ganav, hey, like, you stole from the ganav.
So you're saying the maisa.
That's not what the pasuk is excluding, Mustafa.
What's that excluded from?
The pasuk, the chiddush of the pasuk is, it's not a maisa geneva to the original baal, right?
You would just never think that you have to pay the ganav.
That's the question, right? All right, let's see. So, what does the Meiri say on this? He had something on this, right? The Meiri puts both in. He says he doesn't pay anything, not to the first one, not to the bailam, and not to the ganav rishon.
Yeah, like.
No, is he saying why? Does he say why?
No. Yeah.
So he doesn't go to the bailam because of the pasuk, right? So he's learning the pasuk of v'gunav mibeis ha'ish to be a miyat, like Reb Chaim saying on the bailam. All right. Yeah. Go ahead. So even though it belongs to them, because we're saying there's no kinyan in the rishus of the ganav, so it still belongs to the bailam. So you could say he took his object, but he didn't take it out of his rishus, because it wasn't in his rishus. So that's v'gunav mibeis ha'ish. That's the only time you chayev kefil. To the bailam. Go ahead.
Because
what? Right, and he doesn't pay the second gan, the first gan of kefil, because it doesn't belong to him. So that, but that's not, you don't need the pasuk for that. That's just pasuk. The Miri says, so to the gan, and from the gan of rishul, and from the gan, and to the gan of, you don't pay kefil either, for the simple reason it's not his. It's not his. Right. Now, why is it not his? So he says, because if the Bailam were not Miyayesh, then it's certainly there's no Yayesh, there's nothing to talk about. And even if the Bailam were Miyayesh, Yayesh Kedi is not Kona. It's only Kona if you're Mitztaref Shinei Rishus to it, for instance. But in the Rishus of the Ganav himself, that's not called a Shinei Rishus. Right? That's not called a Shinei Rishus, because it's Isur Baliyadeh. And the only time it's going to be a good Shinei Rishus, he's saying, is if it comes to the next person, Behetera. So he's saying, in this case, for instance, the Ganav stole it from the Ganav. So the Ganav is not Kona. Ganav 2 is not Kona, according to the Miri. Right? And then if a Ganav stole it from the Ganav, who stole from the Ganav, Ganav 3 is not Kona. Right? The only time Yeyush and Shini Rishus is Kona. Oh, so he says, why is this? Because that's Isura Baliyade?
Yeah.
He's calling that all Isura Baliyade. The only time he's saying it's going to be Kona is if it comes Behetera. That's what he says?
Yeah.
And what would Behetera be? To sell it. So how is that Behetera? So you see, this is what the Kovei Shurim was. I mean, this is what he was talking about. That he wants to say behetera baliyade means basically that the gazlan, the ganaf, is really kona to a certain extent. He has a certain tfisa on the object and a certain rights of ownership after the chiyuv of hashava is removed. So the ganaf, he can be makna that. To the next guy. In other words, the Shinei Rishus comes about because the guy who's getting it, B'Shinei Rishus, is getting it. He's getting what the Ganav himself, the Kinyan that the Ganav had. The Kinyan the Ganav has, though, is prevented from being Chal because of his Chi of Hashava. But the next person doesn't have that Chi of Hashava. He doesn't have that chiyuv of Hashava. So he wants to say, B'Isur Baliyadeh would be a violation of the Ganav. What does he mean by Isur? It sounds like that. Because he's saying, what's Isur Baliyadeh versus Heter Baliyadeh? Whether he got it with the Rishus of the Ganav or not. Right? That's the difference. If he got it, B'Rishus HaGanav, that's called Heter Asliyadeh. If he got it against the will of the Ganav, he stole it from the Ganav, he's calling that Isur Baliyadeh. But how can the... what does it mean? Because the Ganav sold it to him. That makes it Heter Baliyadeh. So you see, it's only a question of whether he's going against the will of the Ganav or not. Not the original Isser. In terms of the original Isser, what's the difference? If the Ganav sold it, or if he took it from the Ganav? Yisur and Heter Baliyadeh is in terms of whether he is getting it Birishus HaGanav or not. So you see, the Ganav must have some kind of a bailus on it.
But ultimately, it comes back to the
point is that according to the Miri, the Ganav is a makna to the second to the next Rishus. He's a makna. Otherwise, how would you differentiate between whether you steal it from him, whether you take it from him, or whether he sells it to you? But then according to this, so we would always have to go back to the first Ganav, or not. Or no, whichever Ganav is holding it can sell it to the next guy.
Yeah.
In other words, a Ganav steals it from a Ganav, steals from a Ganav, steals from a Ganav.
It's not like you have Yeish of the first Ganav for when the second Ganav steals
right.
from him.
I mean, the only, right, all you need is Yeish, and then the control of, and then the kinyan of the one who is controlling it. Means that the second Ganav is taking over the first Ganav's tfisa and
right.
kinyan.
There's no like Yayish happening there.
Right. Yeah, what if the first Ganav is not Miyayish on his...
What Yayish? It's not his.
That's the definition of chutzpah. Okay, so let's take a look at the Gemara. Go ahead. Oh, so Tosu says. So Tosu also says, where does this come from? It comes from Vigunav mi beis ha'ish, v'lo mi beis ha'ganav. Now, did you take a look at that Gemara in Samach Tesam Abayz? Did you take a look at that or no?
No.
No? Should we hold off on that?
Where's the Gemara?
What's that?
Where's the Gemara?
It's like 10, 15 lines down. Eina gonev achar ganav shan tashlumi kefo, right? So, I saw one of the Achronim asks a question from this Gemara. Says this Gemara seems to imply the opposite of the way we're learning now. Let's take a quick look. It says like this: Eina gonev achar ganav mishalim tashlumi kefo. Amai bishlomo leganav rishon lo mishalim vigunav mibeis haish. It's the opposite. It's saying the drasha is to exclude paying the first ganav. Bishlomo leganav rishon lo mishalem vegunav mibeis haish v'lo mibeis haganav ela lebailim nishalem. So the Gemara is saying what? Now, there's a little bit of a Ella lav shma mino zelefi she'eno shelo v'zelefi she'eno v'rishuso. Okay, it's a little bit complicated there because this Gemara is trying to prove that the original that the Baal and the Ganav, neither one can be makdish the object, and that you don't say that either one has a control over it, that they can be in order to be makdish it. So it's a little different. It's a little different. Because that's coming in to try to resolve a machlokas. Because Reish Lakish says that the ganav can be makdish it. I mean, the original Baal could still be makdish it. And the Gemara is saying, no, that proves that he can't. All right, maybe we'll leave that for another time. Okay, let's continue. Good. Let's take the Gemara. I'm a Rav. The Rav says no. He says, when do we say ina goni v'achar gana mishan d'shulme kefel and dalvehei? That's when the Baal is not miyayesh. But if the Baal is miyayesh, so Rav holds yesh kedi is kona. So since he holds yesh kedi is kona, therefore it's a simple matter that if after the geneva the Baal is miyayesh, so the ganav is kona, and now it's his completely, and therefore the second ganav is stealing from the Baalim. So the second ganav would have to pay the ganav, who's the new owner, the kefal and the alvei. So basically, it's just another way of Rav saying, Yesh kedi kona. Right? It's just a fancy way of saying, Yesh is kona. Go ahead.
I'm Rav Sheshes.
So Rav Sheshes says, Rav must have been dreaming when he said it. He must have been half asleep when he said this. Because it goes against the Brisa of Rabbi Akiva. Because Rabbi Akiva said, an astounding question, Mipnei ma amra Torah tovachu mocha mishalim tashlumi arba v'chamisha. Mipnei ma? All right, mipnei ma. We had all those mipnei ma's over there too, right? On Samach Tesla and Beis? Mm-hmm. Was that Samach Tesla? Or was Ayin Tes?
Yes.
Mipnei ma. Is that still a mipnei ma also?
They didn't say it. You said that.
No, how did it start out? Shalu Talmudev as Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai Mipnei Ma Hechmira Torah.
Where is
that? It's like 15 lines down from the top. That's where the whole conversation got started. First they asked about Kefil. Mipnei Ma. Yeah. So, I mean, is this a philosophical question? Is this a halacha question? So that's the question. Is it a philosophical question or is it an halacha question? So he says like this. Let's see. He says, why is the Torah, what does that mean? Rashi. So nishtaresh means to put down roots. Asa shrushim, it put in roots. It took root. What does it mean it took root? It was nischazek b'chet. He was strengthened in the chet. How is he strengthened in the chet? Because the lokeach purchased it, acquired it, and his actions were he was benefited by his maisa. He was benefited by his maisa. His maisa was effective. He did an effective action. You have a question?
It doesn't make sense for Tzvicha.
Why?
No, it's not talking about Tzvicha.
Why does that make sense for Tzvicha?
It's talking about the Mechira.
We're talking about effectiveness.
Go ahead.
It causes something to happen, like Mechira.
That's Pashut by the
Mechira, we have to cause something to
happen.
He'll be Kona. Go ahead. Continue.
Amos. Amos. Elim alef neyeyash mi ika nishtarish la'akriyesh.
So, now this guy, who's the Ganav, and is nishtaresh b'chet, he's very halachic minded, okay? So he really wants it to be, he doesn't want that guy that bought it from him to just have it like a thief, that I know. He wants him to have it legitimately, okay? That's why he pays dal vehe, right? So when does the guy who bought it from him have it legitimately? For some reason, that's very important in giving him dalve. So when does the lokeach get it legitimately? Well, if it's before yeish, it's impossible, right? Mi ika nishtaresh halo ahanu maisov. His action wasn't effective. Dishini rishus. Sheshinehu merushusul rushus lokeach below yeish leke laman damer dekani. So very strange. He's only chayav dalad v'hei because if halachically his kinyan was a good kinyan, because somehow that is nishtaresh b'chet. Okay, so when is he nishtaresh? That can't be before yeish. So it must be after yeish. Then ahanu maisov, dahashda koni lokeach, betarti. Now the lokeach actually acquires it with yeish and shini rishus. But if you're going to tell me yeish kedi is kona, then he shouldn't have to pay at all because it was his already, right? Yisolgadech yeish gredo koni ganav amay mishalim arba chamisha hadimei ba'alma. Who the islu labaylam gabe? Domi ba'alma who islu labaylam gabe? All he has of the baylam is debt. He doesn't actually have the object doesn't belong to the baylam anymore. Shelo tavach v'shelo mochar. So you can prove from Rabbi Akiva that what? That yeish kedi is not kona. Because Rabbi Akiva is saying there's a very specific reason why the guy pays dalvei. Why? Because he stole something. Because he's nishtaresh b'chet. Somehow or other, nishtaresh b'chet means that he stole something and then the guy that he sold it to was kona with a halacha kinyan. If it wasn't kona with a halacha kinyan, he would not be nishtaresh b'chet. So the only time it could be a halacha kinyan is after yeish. But if after yeish he's kona already, then he certainly is not going to be chayev. Because it's got to be very specific here. It's got to be... So that apparently wouldn't be enough. For the fact that he's kona from the Geneva, that's not enough.
You're not learning the Shtaresh B'chet is also going on in Tvicha?
It is, but you can't figure out from Tvicha. But Tvicha, dead is dead.
Right, there's no example of it not being affected. You know, there's no example of mice not.
There's
working.
No, you can't locate, you can't make any proofs from the dead case, because it could be dafka before yesh. That wouldn't be a kasha on Rav.
Right, because you know mice, it doesn't matter for yesh.
Because it depends what mahanu mice of vayshchita would mean.
Well, no, he acquired. I mean, if it's before Yish, he would still acquire Shino Maisa.
So then, you don't need Yish for Shino Maisa, right?
Right. So that's why you can't learn anything out.
Right. As the Gemara says later on, right?
I guess so.
Yeah.
Take word for it.
Word. Okay. So anyway, so you can prove. So the only way, so you have, you prove it from the Mechira case. Yeah. So it's a very interesting. So what's the idea of here? What's nishtaresh b'chet? So let's get the other side. So he has Rav get out of this problem. So he says, no, he learns like Rava. Like Rava says later on. Why doesn't Rava say it here? I'm not really clear why he doesn't say it here. But he says it later on. Mipnei she shona b'chet. Not nishtaresh b'chet, but shona b'chet. What does that mean? Rashi, uli olam lifnei yeish, v'afapi de lo ahanu ma'isav mechayev. So, is the reason for dalvei nishtareish or shana? If it's nishtareish, then it's going to be a kasha and rav. It'd have to dafka be after yeish, and the ma'iso would have to be a real kinyan. The mechir would have to be a real kinyan. If it's shana, then even if it's just even if it's before Yeish, it would still be the basis for Dalve. What's Shana Bechet? Well, didn't the Meiri have something on this also? So the Meiri, also Rabbeinu Yohanan and the Shita, they say Rashi doesn't say Shana. Rashi really doesn't explain what Shana means. Shana Bechet. But the Meiri and Rabbeinu Yohanan give a similar interpretation, right? Rabbeinu Yohanan says it like this: Sheshona b'chet gonvo ve'akati hayetzer tokfo. He stole it, and his yetzer is still taking hold of him, still overpowering. Shelo shov merishaso v'hu bolei hanos midemei gizelaso. So he's a shona b'chet, meaning he's persisting in the chet. He's not relenting, and he's continuing. Now he wants to get pleasure from it, from the value of it. With a Meiri, Shenishtaresh b'chet lav dafka nishtaresh. That's the answer. Ela Ratzaloma Sheho Ilu Maisov. I'm sorry, Ratzaloma Shehu Maisov. It doesn't need to be that much. Ela Kach Birusho Shenishtaresh b'chet Ratzaloma Sheshona be'avloso. He repeated his evil. Or his folly. Ka'adam ha-mushrash ba, v'ena yochol lozuz mimena. He can't get himself out of it. Okay, so what's the machlokas over here in the tam, in the mipnei ma of Dalvei? I mean, all the profit that he gets is assuming he doesn't get caught, isn't it? I mean, all of his pleasure is assuming he doesn't get caught. Once he gets caught, then on the contrary, now he's going to be Dalvei. I mean, when we're thinking about him and his feelings, it's all in the framework of him not getting caught. So then who cares if it's a good kinyan or not? Right? That's the funny thing.
What exactly do you mean by that?
I mean, what do we mean, nishtaresh b'chet? I mean, it means say that what? That he feels good because he made a legitimate kinyan out of it? I mean, where is he getting this pleasure? Isn't he getting this pleasure as a thief and assuming he's not going to get caught? That's how he's getting his happiness, is not because he's happy. Why is he nishtaresh b'chet? He's nishtaresh b'chet because he feels successful in his theft. But isn't it funny, his success
has to be in the framework of a halacha kinyan? Why can't his success be that he stole something and he got money for it? No. If the other guy wasn't kona it, then he's not nishtar shvachet. Believe me. It's not that he's thinking, oh, and if I get caught, I'm going to be happy because at least that guy will get to keep it. I don't think he really cares about that guy getting to keep it. That's not what makes him, that's not nishtar shvachet. At least the guy will get to.
In both cases, he keeps the
dog. Anyway, it's not so posh. What?
In both cases,
because if he had to, if the mechira wasn't good, so then the mocher could get the money back, right?
Saying
the lokech would get the money back, right?
There is a difference. In one case, he profits in reality. In the other case, there's no actual increase in his wealth. One case, he actually increases his wealth, no? He gets penalized for it, but he still did increase.
No, let's say if we didn't have Dalve, right? Because that's the question. The question is, why do we have Dalve? So if we didn't have Dalve, hey, so what would be? He would steal something, sell it, and make a profit. And then even if he's caught, so then he'll have to pay KFL. Has to be careful no matter what. This is not a question of careful. Careful is already assuming this careful, but he'll get to keep his money that he sold, that he sold the animal for.
He could use the money he made in the sale towards the careful.
We don't care. We just want to know the totals.
Right. Totals have more money in the end.
Whereas if he sold it and it wasn't a good kinyan, then what? Then the guy that he sold it to would, then what? Then he'd have to give back the animal, right? Return the money to this guy and pay kafil. In terms of his net, it's not going to make a difference. Either he'll get the 100 from the buyer and have to pay 200, so he'll be out 100 for the kafil. Or he'll have to return the 100 from the buyer, but he'll get the $100 in the animal, and he'll have to add 100 for the kafil. So he's not going to profit either way. He's not going to be better off in either case. So what's nishtaresh b'chet? That's true. He could be mekadesh and isha with the money that he gets, if it was a good kinyan. Otherwise, mistava, the money would go back b'achrayas. If you pay for something and it's a mekotos, money go back. You sold me something that's not yours, money goes back. Okay, so I think, though, that what Rabbi Akiva, the machlokas from Rabbi Akiva, and the interpretation of Rabbi Akiva, whether it's Nishtaresh or Sheshona, is trying to find a, conceptually, what is unique. I think Avi is right, that if there's a whole new institution of Kenas, it must be that there's something new in the Maisa. There must be something new in this Maisa. But the question is, what is new what's new in the Geneva? What's different between a Stam Ganav and a Ganav that's Tavach U'Mochar? That requires a reevaluation. In other words, when you're saying Mipnei Ma, Omra Torah, Tovach HaMochom Shalim Tashlumi Arvech HaMisha, means that he already is a Ganav. So he already is defined by Geneva. So what demands a new evaluation of the Gavra in terms of, halachically speaking, what is the Machayev of a new assessment? He already is a Ganav. What is he doing now that's entering him into a different framework that makes him a Bar Hochi of a new Din? So, I would say like this. What's the difference between Nishtaresh and Shana? Nishtaresh, to me, it seems like Rashi's trying to, he's saying it's Nischazek. What does it mean it's made Shrushim? It's Nischazek Bechet. Why is he Nischazek Bechet Shekarno Mahana Maisov? All right. I'm a little speculative here, obviously. But it seems to me that Rashi's saying that
that he did the Maisa Geneva. Okay. He did the Maisa Geneva. So he's a Ganav. He's a Ganav. Apostle for Edus. No question about it. He's a Ganav. And a Chote and all of that. Russia. But he's always he lives in an illegitimacy. There's an illegitimacy in his actions. It's clearly illegitimate what he's doing. Okay, and therefore there is a division in his mind between what's chait and what's legitimate. Okay, he's obviously a bad guy because he did a chait. But still, the demarcation between right and wrong is clear. Okay? But if he could take the object that he stole and then convert it into a legitimate halachic kinyan, that's already now the chait is taking root. Meaning to say, it's becoming in his mind like the basis of legitimacy. It's blurring somewhat the division in his mind. So he's qualitatively a different kind of a Ganav. He's not a he's like a Ganav who thinks of himself with some legitimacy to his Maisa Geneva itself, because it was Mahana, Halacha deemed this a good Kenyan. So you see, I did have a somewhat of a Tzvisa on it. I was really, it's not like a totally differentiated realm. So it's sort of, is rationalizes a little bit to himself the legitimacy of what he did. That's nishtaresh. It's also shrushim. It puts roots into him. And he's nishazik b'chait, because now he looks at the chait as, in a certain sense, something sanctioned, because he was allowed to sell it, and the maisa was, and it was mahana maisa. So for him, it requires a new onesh, because it entered a qualitatively different realm, where the Geneva was becoming the basis of a legitimate Maisa, which is much worse to the person's philosophical well-being than when he knows he's always a Ganav. But Shana Bochet is saying it's just quantitatively a different level of Geneva. It's that he is under the, he did the Maisa Geneva, and then a regular Ganav does the Maisa Geneva, okay, and maybe he feels bad about it, but he's not going to put himself into action to return it. Okay, that's just apathy. You feel bad about things and you don't act upon them. But to now return and do another Maisa in furtherance of the original Geneva, that's a quantitatively greater level of Geneva. So in other words, the question between Rabbi Akiva and the first interpretation and second interpretation is, what merits the reevaluation of the Ganav? Is it because he's qualitatively a different kind of a Ganav now? It's Nishtaresh, it's Ahanu Maisov? Or is it simply because it shows the attachment he has to the chait? He's unusually attached to this chait. And like he says, he's lo zoz, he's not yochol lo zoz mimenu. He can't get himself out of it. Or he's yetzer tokvo, shlo shov me rishaso. So that would be the two possibilities. But it's an interesting, it's two definitions that are going to have a halachic impact. It's halachically speaking, he's saying, where is he differentiated?
Professor?
Yeah. All right, we got to move. Wait. So the bottom tosis. Yeah, what about the bottom tosis? The Tanya. So very interesting. Rishonim Rashba also. He says, the truth of the matter is, all of these questions are just trying to show you, are questions on the proposition that Yeish Kedi is Kona. Now, Rabba already said Yeish Kedi is Kona. So why didn't they ask all these questions on Rabba? And all the questions that they're asking on Rabba, that they asked on Rabba, could just as well be asked on Rav.
So how come they split up the questions? Rabba gets these questions and Rav gets these questions. They're all just trying to disprove Yesh Kediyas Kona. So Tosha says, Enochanami, they could have done all that. But since Rabba was talking about Gezel, so they ask questions on him that come from Mili de Gezel. And Rav is talking about a Ganav, so they ask questions on him that have to do with a Ganav. So, but basically, Tosfos holds there's absolutely no difference between Geneva and Gezela in terms of the Kinyan of Yesh. Even though we learn Kinyan by Gezela from the, even though we learn the from the Heshavis Gezela Sher Gozal, and that's a separate mitzvah by Gezela, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. It's all the same.
He
says, or it was just the way they taught it, the way they learned it in the Beis Medrash.
That's an or? Or it's just in addition to that? I get the reason. There's two different possibilities.
It's independent. I mean, it's an independent answer. I'm not saying he's negating the truth of the first one, but it's an independent answer.
The
first one is saying it's appropriate to ask them only from Gezel on Gezel. But the second one is saying they really should have asked them all together. Ulitervayu havi motzi lemifrach meahi digona vihiktish. Oh, that's the second one. What's the second one? He said, oh, that one he's saying is they could have asked them both.
Yeah.
Why? Because that one is on Rabbi Yochanan. Because Rabbi Yochanan asked that one in Reish Lakish. And that's by, what does he mean by that? That's by Gazlan?
If you stole it, you try to be
mocked. You know, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are talking about Gezel, and he asked the question on him from Geneva. So you see over there, either one. All right. Anyway, let's go on. So in other words, the bottom line is, though, get ready for a lot of cases that are trying to prove Yesh Kedi is not going to. Okay? Just when you thought it was safe to go back to the Gemara? No. Yesh Kedi not Kona is coming back. Go ahead. Now we're going to try to prove another case. So what's the case? Tovcho mochro matvicha shenicho zeres. This is a different drasha. Comparing tvicha and mechira. So just like tvicha is not chozeres, you don't recover from that one. It doesn't come back. So too, mechira is not chozeres.
Yeah. Except I'm firm with
Rebbe Zera, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What does Rashi say? Sheina chozeres. Kosoka daitach hachi gomar. Delo mechayev elehecha de mechirasa mechira gemura vekonye lukech. Okay. So it means to say that the mechira is not going to be chayev unless it's an absolute mechira. And the lokeach is gonna mechira gemura. Good question. So if you're gonna tell me it's before yeish, then it goes back. So it must be after yeish. But if he's kona after yeish, so then why should he be chayav at all? It's his own thing. So he said, no. Kedam Rav Nachman prat l'shehikne l'shloshem yom. He also said that somewhere else. Halchanami prat l'shehikne l'shloshem yom. Okay, what does that mean? Klomar li'olam lifne yeish. Really, it's before Yesh. V'hai eina chozeres de ketani lo lima'uti hechad lo ahanu ma'isov. So you really don't need an effective action. When it says it's not chozeres, it doesn't mean that it was a full kinyan. Really it could be that it does go back. The avagav de lo ahanu chai v'erechmar ho v'shana b'cheit. So it's just a shear in the maisa that he has to try to do. He has to try to do a full mechira. But if he's retaining bilis on it in his mind, in his action, then he's going to be, then that's not mocha. Even though it's, that's not mocha. Has to be complete. That would be even after Yesh. Do the same thing. No difference, right?
Okay, let's go. Next case, a little more interesting. So let's take the next case. he stole it, and someone stole from him. So then the first one pays kafel because he's the ganav from the baal, and the second one only has to pay back the keren. Okay, Rashi, leganav rishon. Interesting. So the second one pays the keren to the first ganav. So ganav A steals it from the bailim. Ganav B steals it from ganav A. So ganav B gives it back to ganav A. Ganav A has to give it back to the baal and pay kefil. Okay. So what is Rashi quoting the pasuk?
Well, why is he chayav keren?
He's explaining why he's not chayav kefil. So it sounds like Rashi is also learning now that maybe he would have been chayav kefil to the ganav.
Ganav basically issues only kefil.
The Gunav is Ishus Kefil. So this Rashi also seems to be implying that without the Gunav Beis Ish, you might have paid Kefil to the Ganav. Now, of course, that Ganav would have had to pay Kefil to the Baal. But the second Ganav wouldn't pay Kefil to the Baal. Let's go a little further. Go ahead.
So,
what's the next case? Next case is Gonav Mocha, right. He stole it and he sold it. And then someone came and stole it from him. Okay. From the guy who bought it. So now the first one pays Tashlume Dalavehe because he sold it. And the second one has to pay Kefil, because the guy who bought it was Kona. Right? So he stole it. He sold it. So he's going to be Chayav for the selling. And then someone stole it from the guy who bought it. So he's Chayav Kefil to that guy. Because he was Kona. Go ahead. Okay, and the last case is he stole it, shechted it, and then someone else came and stole it from him. Okay? So the first ganav has to pay Dal Vehe, because he shechted the animal while it was in his rishus. It still belongs to the original owner. And the second one doesn't pay kefil to the ganav. He only pays keren.
Oh boy.
That's a toughie.
That's not good.
So Rashi says right away, so it doesn't make sense. It's a big problem. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, Katani Mia Mitzi also. But the middle case says what?
Right.
The middle case is the case we're focusing on. He stole it, sold it, and then someone stole it from the purchaser. Right, so the first guy pays Dalavay for selling it, and the second one pays kefil to the one who bought it. Okay, so now when? Amos. So if you're going to tell me he sold it before Yair, so why should the guy who stole it from the guy who bought it owe him kefil? He couldn't have been Kona. That was before Yair. Nobody holds no one holds Shin Rishus as Kona without Yair. So it must be after Yair. And if you can tell me Yesh is Kona, oh, then why did he pay Dalve? Right? Go ahead, let's see Rashi. V'i soka daitach.
V'i soka daitach. V'i kasha. Ha yacho le terutso kagon shim sheshu bailam la'acher
mechiras
gan. Te kona lokea. V'yad ganath lo haya yesh l'kanasa. L'chanam yushani le l'kaman.
So what about this problem? What about this possibility? What if the guy sold it? You're telling me he couldn't have sold it before Yayush, because how would he have been Kona in order to make the ganav from the one who stole it from him Chayav Kefil? No, maybe he sold it to him before Yayush. Then the Ba was Miyayush, and then the guy stole it from him. So then you could say that he'll be chayav for selling it. He'll be chayav dalveh on the selling of it before Yayish. And And you said if he sold it before Yesh, it wouldn't be possible for the Ganav who stole it from him to be Chayav Kefil, because he couldn't have been Kona if he bought it before Yesh. No, maybe he bought it before Yesh, and then the owner was Miyayesh. So this gets into the big question of Yesh and Shini Rishus has to be Dafka in that order or not. Mm-hmm. What if he had Shini Rishus and then Yesh? That's basically what they're asking. Okay. Anyhow, let's just get through it already.
So Pshita Lachar Yesh. The Esau like Yesh Kona Aman Rishon Tishlim Dalvei today who does win.
Must be that was after Yesh, right? Right. So now the Gatarti Biad Lokech. So that's where the Lokech is Kona. But if you're going to tell me that Yesh alone is Kona, then again, why should he have been Chayiv on the original Mechira or the original Dalvei? Right? And Mechira, actually, right? Vesu, the Ketani Reisha. And the Reisha also is difficult. Why? What did the Reisha say? The Reisha again had that what? That he stole it and then someone stole it from him. Right, so the first one obviously is going to pay Kefil. No question about that. But the second one only pays Karen. Now, when is that? If it's after Yeyush, Kaiminon, and if you're going to tell me Yeyush is Kona, so the second guy should have to pay Kefil to the Ganav. Right? Elav Shma Mino Yeish Lokani. So in other words, there's no reason for the first case to be after Yeish, but since we already said the middle case is after Yeish, so it's Mashma, the first case is also after Yeish. So if the first case is after Yeish, then the Gana would have been Kona. Vikashala Rav. So these are problems for Rav. Omarova. So Rav says like this. Hadiknai Seifa Gona Vitova Hubo Achar Vigonvo, Risham Shan Tushum Aravichamisha, Vishinim Shalom Ela Karen. So no, it's like this. Let's take the last case. What's the last case say? The last case says if he stole it and shechted it, and then someone comes and steals it from him. So then the first one pays Dal Vehei, and the second one only pays Karen. Right. But that's a big problem. That doesn't make any sense. Ela Liolam Kula Lifne Yeish. Yeah. Rashi. Umishum Hachi Reisha Sheni Pater Mikefel. That's going to explain the Reisha. Okay. Ve'epach Seifa Lemitziyasa. Umitziyasa leseifa, and switch around the beginning and the middle. Okay. Ve'ema hachi gonav u'mochar u'bo'achar ve'gonvo. If he stole it and sold it, and someone came and stole it from him, harisha mishlan v'shulmi arva chamisha v'ashini in the mishlan v'lekaren. Dishini rishus below yesh lokani. Gona v'tovach u'bo'ach v'gonvo, harisha mishalem tashlum me'arva v'chamisha, v'asheni mishalem tashlum me'kefo, dekanye b'shine ma'isa. Just rewrite the b'risa, basically. In other words, the b'risa doesn't work out the way it's written anyway.
They switch the dinim, or which cases?
Yes, switch the dinim. Tani b'mitziyosa, sheni ein mishalem elakaren. Delo kanye lokech b'shine rishus, below Yeyash. So switch it around that way. Okay?